Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. My name is Jonathan, and we have a special guest with us here today, Carol McCall from Dallas. Carol, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Well, folks, we're going to get started here in just a minute with Carol and her sharing some of her story, and especially some of what she's doing in her practice, her counseling practice, to be able to help wives who are really struggling with having been betrayed by their husband's sexual brokenness. But before we do that, I just want to remind our listeners that we are a listener-supported broadcast, and we're grateful to those of you who have come alongside of us and partnered with us in this ministry. And if you would like to learn about the ways that you can support this outreach, simply go to puresexradio.com and click on the donate button, and you can learn about all the ways that you can partner. Well, Carol, I'm so glad that you decided to give us your time today so that our wives, especially in the audience, can just hear from somebody who's part of their clan, so to speak. You know, because a lot of times our radio broadcasts as myself and Steve Cervantes or Lee Preston, these great counselors, but we're just a bunch of men. Mm-hmm. And even though we talk about relationship issues and we even speak hopefully helpful and insightful words to wives, I think there's just something that bears a lot more credibility when another woman can speak to this topic of betrayal that a wife is feeling because she's discovered her husband's porn addiction or his infidelities or any number of ways in which his sexual brokenness may have manifest. And so I want to just give you a space here to maybe share with our female listeners a little bit about yourself, maybe some of your own story, and then we'll eventually get into kind of some areas in which you have been able to start helping wives travel this path.
Thank you, Jonathan. I totally agree with you. This is the sorority that no one ever wanted to join. And I have often thought it's, you know, no one wants to join this sorority, but it sure is good to know that there are other women out there, because you don't want to walk this path alone. And that really is my passion now. I was in a marriage where my husband had a sexual addiction, and we were married about 20 years. And unfortunately, that marriage ended in divorce. But it is my passion now to give women hope. After that divorce, I went back to graduate school, and I got a degree in counseling so that I could walk this path with women dealing with this. And it really is a passion for me, because women do feel so hopeless. They feel so trapped. They feel so overwhelmed, and just this huge range of emotions that feel out of control, and they don't know what to do with them. And, you know, I like to encourage my clients, you don't feel okay now, and you don't think you'll ever be okay again, but you will be okay again. In Christ, there is hope. In God, there is hope. And even if their marriage does not survive, which, you know, we can't predict that at the outset, we don't know what will become of the marriage, I encourage the women I work with that they will be okay, and there is hope for them if they work their recovery. I think a lot of women, you look at their husband as the one that's broken and needs to get fixed, but they have been severely traumatized, and they too have a recovery path they need to walk. And for their own sake, and for the sake of their children, if they're married, if they have children, then that's a path they need to walk for their own healing and restoration.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that a lot of these women feel feel trapped. Can you sort of expound on that? What is that? Because I think, you know, we deal so much of the time with the men, and we're helping them through this their addiction recovery. And I think sometimes, and I think if you can explain this, this will actually help a lot of our men who listen as well, because a lot of guys that get in recovery, they just cannot understand the frustration and the difficulty that their wife's journey is, because he's seeing it just through the lens of his own personal recovery. And he's saying, hey, I'm doing the right stuff. I'm going to group. I'm whatever. How does a woman in that situation feel trapped? What did you mean when you said that?
Well, I was speaking actually especially of initially when she first finds out what's been going on. But even down the road, as she works her recovery, it is a very difficult place, because I believe that one of a woman's greatest needs is for security. And her marriage relationship, which she thought was a safe, secure relationship, suddenly is the place where she has been the most deeply wounded. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't feel safe to her. It doesn't feel emotionally safe to her. And in some respects, it's not physically safe either. If there have been STDs, you know, if there's been sexual activity outside the marriage. And so she feels trapped in the sense that it doesn't feel safe to trust him again, but it also doesn't feel safe to abandon the relationship, because mm-hmm. then she's out there on her own with her children, and, you know, nobody necessarily that doesn't fit with her childhood dreams of living happily ever after. You don't say, oh, I think I'll go and raise my children on my own. I mean, at some point, someone might need to make that decision. And actually, I was in the position that I did end up having to make that decision, but it wasn't the outcome I wanted. I wanted a restored marriage, but there is just this huge emotional internal conflict, because it doesn't feel safe to begin to trust again. And you're living with someone who has a chronic issue with addiction, and if it is an addiction, and you can't pretend that's going to go away. If he's in recovery, that's great. But everyone I've worked with has to wrestle with the question, but what if he relapses? Right. Then what do I do? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we aren't ever given guarantees in life about anything. And no one at the marriage altar is given any guarantees about any card that they're going to be dealt in that relationship. But it is a terrifying thing in the midst of it, because they have been so hurt and they don't ever want to be hurt that way again.
Mm-hmm. And do you also feel like maybe even women in the church, wives in the church, almost feel an additional pressure in this sense of being trapped or feeling trapped? Because, you know, hey, they know all the quote unquote right answers about forgiveness and all blah, blah, blah. And do you feel like they feel an additional kind of pressure that doesn't allow them the space that they need to really process the fullness of all of their emotions that they're feeling? Because many, many wives that we've dealt with, there is a tremendous amount of anger and even bitterness and sometimes even some violent thoughts towards their husband. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times in the church, these wives aren't given that freedom to express those without judgment, without saying your course has been laid out for you, you must go this way.
Oh, absolutely. And I can speak to that on several levels. Certainly women, if they have gone to the church for help, they often do not get wise counsel from their pastors. I mean, some of them have been told to go home and be more sexual, or if you had been more available to your husband, he wouldn't have done this, or you need to be more attentive to your appearance. And somehow these messages come across that somehow it's their fault, and somehow it's up to them to be sexual enough or attractive enough or whatever to be able to quote-unquote fix their husband. I could list a dozen things that pastors have said to women that are just the wrong counsel. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when I went through it, my children at the time, when I first found out about my husband's addiction, my two oldest children were 3 and 1. Later on, I had a third child. But, you know, I was busy being the perfect Christian wife, and I didn't have a script for how to walk through this perfectly. I was afraid to express my anger. If I really let loose on my anger, my goodness, my husband might leave, because I was really angry. And so I internalized my anger, but then I went into depression, and that is another kind of a trap. It is an awful trap, and there's a lot of self-condemnation that happens in there. You feel like you've been played the fool. It is just a very dark, dark place to be. So I think that there are external messages from the church. There's expectations that we have had of ourselves and that we think others have of us. And there's internal messages that we say to ourselves that are indicting. And all of it is, there's just a lot of shame surrounding this whole thing. And shame is a trap all of its own. And certainly the husbands that are dealing with this issue, they have their own shame issues to deal with. Sure. But the women have their own also. They feel like, you know, somehow they didn't measure up, that they're inadequate, that they weren't enough for their husbands. And it's just an awful, awful journey. And that's one of the things I consistently reassure my clients of. This was not your fault, you know, but it's very hard for a woman to believe that. She has internal and external messages that indicate that, you know, somehow she should have either known this would happen. How did she end up with this guy? You know, how did she end up married to this guy? Or she should somehow be able to fix it, which of course she can't.
Would you say that message that your husband's addiction is not your fault is one of the first messages that a wife needs to hear or needs to embrace in her journey of healing?
Yes, but I think it's a process embracing it. I think that she really can't embrace it. She can hear the words, right, but she will not believe them for a long time. I encourage my clients to educate themselves as much as they can about sexual addiction because it's through knowledge that they gain understanding, and then they recognize that, oh, this would have happened no matter who he was married to. This is about him. This is about his stuff. And does she bring her own stuff to the relationship? Yes. Does she have her contribution to dynamics in the relationship that may not be healthy? Yes. But did she cause this? No. And that's, you know, I know of women who were very sexual with their husbands and this was going on. I know of women who had not been sexual with their husbands for years and this was going on. And the reality is, actually, if a man is busy acting out, he tends to lose interest in his wife sexually. So she's waiting for him in bed and he's out there looking at porn on the internet. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and I think, you know, it's interesting as you're sharing kind of the journey that a wife needs to go through. Not that this is anything that a wife can necessarily embrace early on, but it's amazing the parallels in the healing journey that a wife has to go on and a sexually addicted husband has to go on. They're still unique journeys, so they're not identical, but they're really parallel to each other because you're talking about there's the shame issue, there's these issues of fear. There is a lot of times there's anger in both parties for different reasons. But it's interesting. We've seen a lot of times in the couples that start to embrace these individual journeys of healing that they have to go on, that they eventually discover they're sort of on the same path. They're just 10 feet away from each other.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. I do think that initially her journey is a bit different in the sense that a lot of women that have been through this display PTSD symptoms. There is a book by Barbara Steffen called Your Sexually Addicted Spouse, and in it it's also co-authored by Marsha Means. And in it, Barbara Steffen's documents studies that indicate that a lot of the things that women experience initially after disclosure, parallel PTSD symptoms, for instance, panic attacks and hyperarousal, oversensitivity, depression, intrusive images, hypervigilance, rage, obsessive thoughts, you know, wanting to constantly check up. And all of those are safety-seeking measures that a woman will exhibit, because she's trying to recover some sense of safety and security, and she can't rely on her husband for that anymore. So I think that that's one place where it may be different from the husband, and yet if the husband has had trauma in his past that has contributed to the choices that he has ultimately made with his addictive behaviors, he too has trauma recovery to deal with. It's just maybe not about something immediate that has happened.
Right, the triggers aren't immediate. I guess another one of the differences is that I think a sexually addicted husband that's coming off of his addiction will have, in some cases, very real, very physical withdrawal symptoms.
Yes.
And so in a sense, they're both in this state of physical and emotional chaos.
Yes.
I do think, would you agree that one of the differences, too, is that, you know, the husband, he has known specifically about his addiction for however long it's been going on. Whereas the wife, while she may have some intuition regarding something not being right in the relationship, there still is this this shock to her system when the specifics come out. And so in a sense, they're maybe in a different place of how much information they have known specifically. Whereas when he starts his recovery, if he starts his recovery, he's known specifically all of the details of his addiction for however long the history is.
Right.
But when she starts her healing journey, it starts when she has received all of that specific information. And so in a sense, she's kind of starting from ground zero, where he's at least got the informational history of what he's been doing. And I'm sure that adds a different dynamic to if there is going to be restoration in the relationship. They're kind of at two very different places from where he's starting his recovery and where she's starting her healing journey.
Yes, I agree. She is dealing with profound wounds of betrayal. I often use the illustration with my clients that it's like they've just been run over by a truck. Their husband's the truck driver. And I tell them to picture a person in ICU with, you know, in traction and breathing tubes and all this. And they are immobilized and they don't know what to do next. And they can't even hardly help themselves. And sometimes the women are actually concerned about their husband. Oh, is he going to be okay? And is he doing it? And they're busy feeling sorry for their husband. And I'm just like, you know what? You don't need to feel sorry for your husband right now. There's other people that are going to take care of him. They're going to be paying attention to his recovery process. Right now, you've got to be paying attention to your own recovery process. I liken it to when on the airlines, they tell you if the pressure changes or drops, then these masks will appear, and put a mask on yourself first and then on your children. And I really work with my clients in their first few appointments to be identifying what self-care looks like, because usually they're busy taking care of everybody else in their household, trying to keep everything together, and they don't have the capacity to do that anymore. And if they keep trying to do that, they will just drive themselves down a really bad road. The other piece I'd like to add there is that sometimes, I would say actually most of the time, when women find out about their husband's activities, usually they don't find out everything. The husband still knows everything, but very often the woman only finds out something very significant, or maybe a few significant things. And sometimes the husband is reluctant to disclose everything because she might not be in a good place. And there's some wisdom in that. We have to be careful about the timing of disclosure. It's important that the woman be in a stable, supported place to be able to manage things that are going to be divulged. But I've seen some couples where the husband divulges a little bit, and then 2 weeks later, a little bit more, and then a month later, a little bit more. And it's this trickle effect, and it keeps taking her back to ground zero. It takes her back to that initial disclosure, and it re-traumatizes her. And it's like every time she starts to begin to get her bearings, everything just blows open again for her emotionally. So that's a difference also.
It's like slowly pulling a Band-Aid off, you know, instead of just ripping the thing off. Both of them are going to be painful in their own way. And what we always try to tell folks, if they're seeking to work on restoration, is first of all, there's nobody that does this process perfectly on either side, the husband or the wife, and there's no way to do it painlessly. So, you know, I do think you're right that there can be some strategy that helps to mitigate and some of that pain. But good grief, what we're talking about here is betrayal at the deepest level.
That's right.
And so there's, you know, the last thing you want to do is try to, you know, get a wife to think that she can go through this unscarred or painlessly. I did want to ask you, you know, obviously we're not going to, you know, solve every wife's problems in this, you know, 30-minute program. But I did want to see if you could help the wives understand just sort of the process that she must go through, sort of the 30,000-foot view. that's saying when a woman has from kind of discovery to a place of stability, and and what does that journey look like? What are the key things that she will need to walk through in order to maybe go from a place of discovery to a place of stability? Understanding that wherever she is in that process right now, it's still going to be a journey. I think even after a person gets to a place of stability, there's still a journey of growth and continuing to become healthier in the ways we relate. And like you were talking about self-care and all those things, we can continually grow in those things. But I think you understand what I'm saying between that crisis moment of discovery and a place where you sort of feel like you have your legs under you again. You're not crippled necessarily anymore by that horrible, horrible news.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think initially most wives think they will never be okay again. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things I tell my clients is time is your friend. You know, this will take time. They feel panicked that they have to figure out what to do. What am I going to do? Like suddenly they can make a decision and they can't even decide, you know, what to make for dinner that night because they're so paralyzed with this. So they certainly can't make major decisions. And I encourage them that it's wise to take, unless there are safety issues involved, it is wise to wait even up to a year to make decisions. Because they're not in a stable place. Any decision that they think today might be a good decision, that will prove out over time if it is a good decision, and it'll still be a good decision 3 months or 6 months or a year from now. They don't know what their husband's going to do. They don't know what his recovery is going to look like. So they don't know what the outcome is. Mm. And so some of their choices will be clearer to them as they gain mental clarity. And none of us have mental clarity when we've been traumatized.
Oh, sure.
But their choices will become clearer for them. But for their own recovery, it's very important that they have permission to create boundaries that they need for safety, whether that is emotional boundaries about, for instance, how much they want to talk about this or not with their husband at this point, physical boundaries, sexual boundaries, how much, you know, do they want to continue to share the same bedroom? Do they want an in-house separation? Do they need an actual separation or not? They need education in order to learn about sexual addiction, but also to learn about themselves and the trauma that they've been going through. There's some wonderful books that I recommend to my clients. One of them is called Deceived by Claudia Black. Another one I just mentioned, Your Sexually Addicted Spouse by Barbara Steffens and Marsha Means. Another one called Shattered Vows by Deborah Lasser, L-A-A-S-E-R. And those books help educate women what they're dealing with in their husband, but also educate them about what's going on in their own process in dealing with this. Women that go through this certainly have their own recovery from their PTSD symptoms to deal with. They have to figure out what it looks like to have appropriate boundaries in their relationship and to not be trying to control their husband's recovery, but to focus on their own recovery. They need to learn how to stay in the present. For most of my clients, I really actually have to teach them how to feel their feelings, because most of my clients have become so disconnected with themselves emotionally, and that happened before this disclosure. The marriage had its own stuff going on, even maybe in their family of origin. They learned to kind of ignore their own emotions. But I help them get connected with what their emotions are, because if they know what they feel, for instance, if they feel sad, then they know they need comfort. If they know they need comfort, then they can pay attention to what are some healthy ways to get those needs met. And unfortunately, in this situation, people know all the negative things they're feeling, but they don't necessarily know what those emotions are telling them that they need. And then they don't necessarily make healthy choices to get those needs met appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
So we work a lot on that.
How hard is it for a wife to essentially, as you are saying all of this, slow down when everything in her system has just seemed to been ramped like to 10?
It is very hard. You know, we have this built-in fight or flight mechanism in us for survival. And if we can't figure out what to do with it. We just want to run from it. But in the running, they're also running from themselves. And so that's where it's helpful to have a counselor they're seeing who gets this. You know, I recommend, certainly for men that are going through this, I recommend that they see a certified sexual addiction therapist, a CSAT counselor. But for women going through this, I recommend that they see a counselor who's really trained in dealing with the spouses who walk this path. Not every counselor has the same level of training in every field. For instance, I don't have any specific training in dealing with eating disorders. Yeah, I learned about it in graduate school, but I don't have all the training that would make me very good in dealing with that. So I don't deal with that in my practice. But I do have a lot of training in dealing with this. So this is about 85% of my practice is dealing with this. They need support from other women. I recommend that they get into a support group with COSA. Usually in the community, there are COSA groups that meet at various times of day or in the evening. I run therapy groups in my practice also. They definitely need that kind of support. They have to be careful about who they tell their story to, you know, who are the safe people in their life who will be there for them if their marriage really does completely fall apart and they end up kind of holding the bag and needing to be on their own. Who are those people who will be their support people?
Yeah. Well, Carol, we're about out of time, but how could our listeners learn more about you and your practice?
I practice at Haven Counseling in Dallas, Texas, and our website is havencounseling.com. And on that website, there is a link to staff, and I'm under the staff as Carol mm-hmm. McCall. If someone is in Texas, I mean, I have people that come actually from a couple of hours away. So I don't know where all your listeners might live, but if they're in the Dallas region, it works. Sometimes I've seen mm-hmm. other clients who live further away, and I might see them and, occasionally on a Skype appointment, but then other appointments, most of their appointments, they come in. They can mm-hmm. also contact me by email, carol@havencounseling.com.
Well, Carol, we so appreciate you being with us this week, and we know it's going to be a blessing to our listeners. And listeners, we look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. Well, folks, I don't think we could do this broadcast without mentioning to you some great resources that we have for wives. One resource that we want to offer to you today is our Handbook for Hurting Wives. This handbook is designed for women. It's designed to help women understand how to work with a sexually struggling spouse. And what this workbook will do is it's going to provide insight and understanding regarding your spouse's struggle. It'll also provide ideas and techniques to use when confronting your spouse. It even provides a roadmap to evaluate appropriate steps for restoration and recovery. And finally, it has a guide to promote spiritual and emotional growth. It contains a devotional guide along with it. And we want to offer this handbook to anyone who contacts our ministry and mentions that they heard it on the broadcast today for only $10 per workbook. Normally it's $17.95, and we want to offer it to you today for $10. And as a bonus, we're going to provide you with a CD that we have called Words for a Woman's Soul. And this CD has already blessed countless women who have heard it, and this CD basically helps a woman in all walks of life that just need to be reminded that you are precious in God's sight. And it's got a unique blend of music and also some words of encouragement. And this CD, just to take a quote from my own wife who listened to it, she said, "This CD is like healing balm for a woman's raw, wounded heart. It will bring you hope, comfort, and encouragement." So today, if you will call us or email us, please do so today, and we will give you our Handbook for Hurting Wives for only $10, and we will also throw in with it the Words for a Woman's Soul. So all of you women who would like to be encouraged and just be comforted, these are some incredible resources that are going to help you in your journey of healing. So call in today.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.